Right now, the longest ongoing war in the whole wide world that nobody's ever heard of is a civil war in Myanmar, just south of China, where the Muslims and the Buddhists have been going at it ever since 1948, for 74 years now. And all kinds of people have been killed and destroyed because of it. But the Bible tells us there's another war going on in the world right now that most people haven't heard of either. And not a physical war, but a spiritual war. A war that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden between God and His people and the devil and his demons. Not just a war halfway around the world, but all over the world. And right here in our own country, in our churches, in our families, and right here in our own hearts and minds, and especially in these last days. And because too many people don't have a clue about that war or who the enemy is or how they're supposed to fight him, there's been chaos and death and destruction because of that war like you would not believe too. Well, we're going to start changing that. We're going to start a series here this morning at Fox River, a series called Armor On, looking how we can put on the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6 and start fighting and winning that war that the devil has declared on us. And we're going to start this series this morning by simply looking at why we need to even put on that armor to start with. And to see that, we turn this morning to Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 10 to 12. You have your Bibles, turn with me please. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 12. Paul writes, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." And let's pray. Lord, I thank You so much for Your Word. I just thank You, Lord, that You've brought us here today, and I pray You just open up our eyes to the fact that there is a spiritual battle going on. We have an enemy, and we need to take a stand. And I pray You just teach us this morning how we need to do that. Pray You'd come to us now by the power of Your Holy Spirit. I pray You'd open Your Word and teach us from it exactly what it is You want us to know. We ask all this in Your name. Amen. In Ephesians chapters 1 to 3, the Apostle Paul tells us who we are in Christ, seated in heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. In chapters 4 and 5, Paul tells us how we need to walk that out and live that out every single day. Then here in chapter 6, Paul not only tells us how we're going to be attacked because of that, he also tells us how we can armor up and take a stand and win that battle by the power of Jesus Christ. Our text this morning, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 12, tells us three reasons why we even need to armor up to start with. And let's look and see what those three reasons are. The first thing we see from this text, the first reason why we need to armor up is because we have an enemy. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us here in verses 11 and 12. And folks, we need to realize it's not just Joe Biden or the wokies or the lefties or the pro-aborts or the never-Trumpers or the Fauci fanatics. Our ultimate enemy is the devil. And don't look at me like that, because I am not crazy. And I don't need to be drug tested or pee in a plastic cup. You want to have victory? You got to know the enemy. And our number one enemy is the devil himself. And don't tell me he's not real. The Bible tells us the devil is one of the gazillions of angels that God made at the time of creation. And his name was Lucifer, which means light bringer. One of the hunky Chippendale angels that God made. And God's worship leader in heaven. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 12. But then he got a big head and thought he was God, and wanted to take over. And he got one-third of all the other angels to roll with him. So Revelation chapter 12 says there was war in heaven, and Lucifer and one-third of the angels got kicked out of heaven and thrown down to this earth, where they became the devil and fallen angels, or demon spirits, the rulers and authorities and powers and evil spiritual forces in heavenly realms, literally spiritual realms, right here in verse 12. And powerful? 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 says the entire world is temporarily under the control of the devil and his demons. And until Jesus comes back, that's just the way it is. Now, most churches today never talk about the devil because it's not seeker sensitive and it might ruin somebody's positive worship experience. But because of that, one out of three Americans don't believe the devil exists at all. And I know there's somebody here today, and Kevin, I don't believe in the devil. You know what? The devil could care less if you believe in him or not, just as long as you don't believe in Jesus. And you not believing in Him doesn't change what He's doing to you one bit. In fact, it just makes it easier for Him. Listen to me. You may not believe in the devil, but I guarantee you that devil definitely believes in you. Last year, 10-year-old Maribel Sobieto brought a little dog for his family. And he named that dog Run Run. But when Run Run got to be 5 months old, he started roaming around the neighborhood, killing ducks and chickens. Till the family finally realized Run Run wasn't a dog, he was a fox. There was a fox loose in the hen house. And folks, there's a devil loose in the world too, whether people recognize it or not. Do we understand the enemy and why we need to armor up? Because what does that enemy do? John 10:10, he comes to steal and kill and destroy you. Because he hates God, and you're created in the image of God, and you remind him of God. Amen. So under the radar and behind the scenes in the spiritual realm, there is a battle raging. Because even though you never declared war on the devil definitely declared war on you. Amen. And notice, not one time does Paul ever say here, enter the battle. And you know why? Because you're already in it, up to your eyeballs. And if you're not strapping it on and fighting it every single day, the devil's already beating your brains in. So our fight is not just against other people and the flesh and Rocky Road ice cream. It's against the devil. And he stalks us. And he scares us. And he harasses. And he intimidates. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4 says he blinds the minds of unbelievers so they can't understand the gospel and be saved. And he tempts. Last June the 24th, 73-year-old John Lambert from Philadelphia was beat to death by four young people with a traffic cone for no reason whatsoever, just a thrill kill. You know who the two primary suspects were in that murder? A 10-year-old boy and a 14-year-old girl. 10 and 14. People, that's evil. That's cold-blooded murder. That's the devil. And Revelation 12:17 says he also makes war against the saints, which means us Christians. So you wonder why it's so hard for you to have a prayer time? The devil. Why you can't stop looking at porn? The devil. Why your wife doesn't want to work on your marriage? The devil. Why there's so many fights and arguments in your church sometimes? The devil. Why it's like a WWF wrestling match to even get your kids to come to church on a Sunday morning? The devil. 2 Corinthians 2:11. We are not unaware of his schemes. Do we understand this enemy and why we need to armor up? And people, we need to armor up, especially today, because the devil and everything occult is being glorified to the max. Today, you scroll the word witchcraft on TikTok, you will see millions and millions of videos of people doing incantations and spell castings. So many videos, there's a whole section of TikTok now called Witch Talk. And in America right now, there are more self-proclaimed witches than there are Methodists and Presbyterians combined. The Sephora Cosmetic Company now has witch starter kits for women. Urban Outfitters is now selling so-called magic healing crystals. Astrology app CoStar is getting 20 million hits a day. Last May, if your kids got a Happy Meal at McDonald's, they could register to get a free tarot card reading from a national psychic. At McDonald's. What do you know? The devil with a side of fries. Do we understand this enemy and why we need to armor up? But folks, we also need to know we have a friend who is a lot stronger than that enemy is. For 20 years, Rion Schweigelaar was the presiding pastor of the entire Satanic Church of South Africa. Grew up in a Christian home, was even part of a Christian ministry, but then got royally burned and turned his back on God and turned to the devil because he thought the devil would give him more power, and also turned to homosexuality and spent all of his time worshiping the devil and doing all kinds of black-hearted X-rated rituals and spreading demonic propaganda all over the world through his YouTube channel. Absolutely ugly, disgusting, X-rated human being, as evil could be. But then last May, he did an interview at a South African radio station. And during that interview, he absolutely trashed Christianity. God and Jesus aren't real. The Bible isn't true. All Christians are just hypocritical idiots. The same palaver that all Satanists say. But after that interview was over, a woman who was a technician at that studio came up to him and hugged him and said, "I love you. And I'm glad I finally got a chance to meet you because I have been praying for you for a long, long time." Him? Rian Schweigelar? The gay pagan grand poobah, the satanic church? And day after day, he couldn't stop trying to figure out why that woman would do that for him. Until the next week, when he saw that woman's profile on WhatsApp and saw in her status, she was a Christian. And he was absolutely floored because his entire life, no Christian had ever, ever, ever done anything like that for him. And then a week after that, he was doing a satanic ritual all by himself that was supposed to give him more power as a satanic leader, when all of a sudden, Jesus Christ himself appeared in that room. Not the devil or a demon, but Jesus, with his arms stretched out saying, "Come to me, come to me." And Rian Schweigelar realized for the very first time in his life that the power of the love of Jesus Christ was a lot stronger than the power of the hate of Lucifer the devil. And what Jesus had to offer him was far better than anything that the devil had to offer him. So last July the 4th, he released a video to tell the world he had prayed to receive Christ and become a Christian. This is a part of that video.
Influence. And I did this ritual and I opened myself up and Jesus appeared. And I was extremely cocky. And I said, "If you are Jesus, you need to prove it." And he flooded me with the most beautiful love and energy. And I recognized it immediately because that woman at the radio station showed it to me. That's how I recognized the love of Christ immediately, because four people showed it to me. And I didn't understand it at the time. I couldn't understand because, like I said, I didn't believe. Even when I was in Christian ministry almost 20 years ago, I never knew it until a month or two ago. The love of Christ is unconditional. When you experience it, it is something different. I have for a long time.
Just wow! People, listen to me. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how bad the devil may have messed you up. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but Jesus Christ has come that you might have life and that more abundantly. So today you turn away to the devil. You turn to Jesus Christ. Jesus will deliver you from that devil and set you free and give you a brand new life. There's a lot of things that the devil can do. There is one thing the devil can't do. He cannot stop you from coming to salvation in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. The devil is strong, but God is stronger. And by simple faith in Jesus Christ, the enemy always loses and God always wins. The first reason why we need to armor up is because we have an enemy. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second reason why we need to armor up. Not only because we have an enemy, but because we need to take a stand against that enemy. The devil. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us here in verses 10 and 11. Notice Paul says, verse 11, take your stand against the devil. But verse 10, don't you dare do that on your own. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. His power, not yours. You break into my house, 2 o'clock in the morning, Sue's got a Glock 43 on her side of the bed. I got a Remington 870 on my side of the bed, locked and loaded, and we know how to use them. But all the weapons in the world cannot stop the devil. You don't fight the devil with physical weapons of the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. You fight the devil with spiritual weapons from the Lord. So you try to take on the devil without God's weapons and without God's help, he is going to beat you like a rented mule. You do not underestimate this enemy, because I have seen firsthand what that devil can do. But when you are strong in the Lord and you take your stand with God's help, God will fight for you. Ever since we opened this building back in 2006, I've come here really late at night and really early in the morning to work and to pray. And I might as well go ahead and tell you this, because everybody thinks I'm crazy anyway. Every time I'm here, there is a white thing, like a white pillar of light, standing right out there in that field. And I can see it in the darkness through the window. And people say, "Well, Kevin, that's just the moon shining on the window. That's just a reflection of car lights that are driving by on 50. No, Because that thing is still there, even when the moon isn't shining, and there ain't no cars driving by at all. And 2 years ago, I went outside of this building, into that field, and that thing was still there. So it's nothing to do with the window at all. So what in the world is that thing? Well, the Bible tells us the devil has the entire world divided up into territories, with certain honcho demon spirits in charge of certain one of them, like the prince of Persia, Daniel chapter 10, verse 13. But the Bible says God also has His angels over certain areas too. So, Kevin, you're saying that thing, all night, all day, angels watching over me, my Lord. All night, all day, angels watching over me. And because of that, in 29 years, I cannot tell you how many freakazoid demon spirits me and other people from this church have prayed and chased off of this property. Fox River Church has gone through COVID. We've gone through lockdowns, satanic attacks, death threats, false accusations, coup attempts, J.B. Pritzker. Heaven's sakes, January of 2021, the devil like has not burned this church to the ground with a fire. But guess what? We're still here. So you're going to take on Kevin Garner and Fox River Church? You better pack a lunch, because Elohim Shomri, God fights for us here. And God, please, please, please keep doing that. You be strong in the Lord. And you take your stand. And Christians, we've got to take our stand against the devil, especially now, because the devil loves camouflage. And right now he's using that to convince all kinds of people in this country that good things are really bad and bad things are really good. Even though Dr. Fauci was vaxxed to the max and still got COVID last month. And even though he admitted just last Monday that the COVID vaccine is not very effective at all in stopping COVID, he's still telling you that the COVID vaccine is the best thing since Velveeta-flavored fingernail polish. And it's crazy. All over the world, children who have not been vaccinated are doing fine. But the children who were vaccinated are sicker than Typhoid Mary with COVID, flu, rhinovirus, RSV, tuberculosis, severe cold, because the vaccine destroyed their immune system. Perfectly healthy 20 to 50-year-olds all over the world are now having grabbers and dropping dead like flies right after having the vaccines. But no. See, it can't have anything to do with the vaccine. It couldn't. Nothing to see there, because the vaccine is safe and effective. And we're all in Illinois. See, what's bad is really good. Senate Judiciary Committee meetings this past week on abortion in Washington, D.C. Dr. Colleen McNicholas, head of Planned Parenthood in St. Louis, said abortion is an act of love. You mean an act of love for the baby who gets murdered? Senator Elizabeth Warren says Christian pro-life centers torture pregnant women by giving them sonograms. Torturing somebody with something that they have voluntarily done? Mayor Lori Lightfoot says having women give birth to a baby is like slavery. AOC says abortion is a good thing because getting pregnant and having a baby and raising a child robs a woman of fulfilling her full potential. See, killing baby, good. Having baby, bad. See how the devil has got people's minds screwed up today? During those same Senate committee hearings, Professor Kyra Bridges from Berkeley, California, was being questioned by Senator Josh Hawley from Missouri. This is part of that exchange.
Now, Professor Bridges, you said several times, you've used a phrase, I want to make sure I understand what you mean by it. You've referred to people with a capacity for pregnancy. Would that be women?
Many women, cis women, have the capacity for pregnancy. Many cis women do not have the capacity for pregnancy. There are also trans men who are capable of pregnancy, as well as non-binary people who are capable of pregnancy.
So this isn't really a women's rights issue.
We can recognize that this impacts women while also recognizing that it impacts other groups. Those things are not mutually exclusive, Senator Hawley.
Oh, so your view is that the core of this right then is about what?
So I want to recognize that your line of questioning is transphobic, and it opens up trans people to violence by not recognizing them.
Wow, you're saying that I'm opening up people to violence by asking whether or not women are the folks who can have pregnancies?
So I want to note that 1 out of 5 transgender persons have attempted suicide. So I think it's important
because of my line of questioning?
Because,
so we can't talk about it?
Because denying that trans people exist and pretending not to know that they exist.
I'm denying dangerous. That trans people exist by asking
you
if you're talking about women having pregnancies.
Do you believe that men can get pregnant?
No, I don't think women can get
pregnant. So you are denying that trans people exist?
Thank and that leads to violence? Is this how you run your classroom? Are students allowed to question you?
Absolutely.
Or are they also treated like this? Where
no,
they're told that they're opening up people to violence.
We have a good time in my class. You should join.
Oh, I bet.
You might learn a lot.
Wow, I would learn a lot. I've learned a lot just
in
this exchange.
Absolutely.
Extraordinary.
Yep.
You talk about arrogant and condescending and totally divorced from reality. But see how the devil uses the transanity cult to bully people into believing that men and women can change their gender when everybody knows it's absolutely impossible. You know what the Bible calls a trans man? A woman. Not a cis woman, but a woman. Because cis woman implies there's more than one kind of woman, and there isn't. And I know that because I married one. And for heaven's sakes, men can't get pregnant. And just 5 minutes ago, everybody in the entire planet believed that. And most of them still do. And if you say men can get pregnant, that's not only wrong, it's evil. But see, if you say that, you're the one that's evil. You've got the problem. And you're committing violence. And you're killing people. Folks, no nation can survive this kind of stupidity. And the stupid pronouns. Individual people using pronouns like they and them to refer to themselves. Like multiple people. Folks, as a single person, referring to yourself as more than one person is not a sign of non-binary. It's a sign of a mental illness called schizophrenia. But see, the most loving thing that you can do for your child, the most loving thing, Dad, that you can do for your son is to tell him that he's really a girl so he can get his junk cut off. Because don't you want your child to be his authentic self? See how loving that sounds? What does the devil do? 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. He comes disguised as an angel of light. We've got to take a stand against the devil. And if we don't take a stand against the enemy, what do we get? Then you become the United States military today. Here's a portion of the latest Navy, U.S. Navy recruiting video, if you can believe it.
Connie, and I use he, him pronouns.
Hi, and I'm Conchi, and I use she, her pronouns.
And we're here to talk about pronouns.
What is a pronoun? A pronoun is how we identify ourselves apart from our name, and it's also how people refer to us in conversations.
Using the right pronouns is a really simple way to affirm someone's identity. It is a signal of acceptance and respect.
If it's a signal of acceptance and respect, how do we go about creating a safe space for everybody?
That's a good question. A really good way to do that is to use inclusive language.
Are you kidding me? Folks, the United States military is not about affirming your identity. The United States military is about breaking down your identity and your individuality in order to have a common goal, which is killing people and breaking things to win a war. Folks, the United States Armed Forces will never survive this kind of woke nonsense. 60,000 patriotic U.S. troops given the boot because they wouldn't get vaccinated. Recruiting is down 25% across all four branches. We are not prepared to take a stand against the enemy. Heaven's sakes, all communist China needs it. They don't even have to fire a shot. All they need to do is just shout out a bunch of non-inclusive pronouns, and our troops will feel so unsafe, they'll start surrendering in droves. We've got to take a stand against the enemy. And Christians, we've got to do that right now because that enemy is this close to revealing who they really are. Back in 2019, just days before the pandemic started, right out of the blue, for the very first time, the U.S. federal government finally admitted that UFOs are a thing, a real thing. January 2021, Congress started holding hearings. And in the last 18 months, they released all kinds of evidence from all over the world of people's personal encounters with UFOs. And hold on to your hat, folks, because there's a ton of it. And they weeded out all the hoaxes, all the accounts from the kooks and the people in the tinfoil hats and all the pictures of the swamp gas and the weather balloons. But there are still hundreds and hundreds of accounts from very credible people who claim that they've been abducted by UFOs, even born-again Christians. And accounts from credible people like U.S. commercial airline pilots and U.S. military flyers who've encountered strange lights in the sky and entire formations and glowing triangles. Military pilots who say there are so many UFOs out there, they are scared of mid-air collisions every time they take off. One of those videos you see right here was taken by two U.S. Navy flyers on a training flight over the Pacific Ocean back in 2015. And what they're seeing in that video is a UFO traveling over 1,000 miles an hour against a 140-mile-an-hour wind.
My gosh! No, going against the wind. The wind's 120 knots to the west. The whole thing, dude.
Just freeze that. And there's other videos. Tons and tons more videos. Showing aircraft going 5, 10, 15, 20,000 miles per hour. Aircraft going 6,000 miles per hour and then stopping on a dime. Aircraft going 8,000 miles per hour and then just like that making a 180-degree turn. Technology that you and I cannot even imagine. So folks, obviously, whatever that is, was not made by man. People, what you see right there on the screen is not human. Former CIA Director James Woolsey said if the American people saw all the evidence the federal government has of UFOs, every single person in this country would turn to religion for comfort. Holy Area 51 people, what in the world are those things? And don't tell me they're space aliens from another galaxy. Because after centuries and centuries of telescopes and calculations and all kinds of space exploration and scanning every nook and cranny of the universe for any kind of radio wave, we have not found one signal, not one peep, not one drop of water, not one shred of any physical evidence of any kind of life anywhere else in the cosmos. So they're not space aliens because there's no such thing as space aliens. Okay, Kevin, what are they then? Well, because I'm a Bible-believing Christian, I know exactly what they are. They're not space aliens, they're fallen angels, they're demon spirits. Because the Bible says they disguise themselves as angels of light. They're very fast. They're very strong. They're not subject to the same physical limitations that we are. And there's gazillions of them. And if you don't believe that, go outside your house on any clear night, look up, and you will see more shiny, unexplainable things in the sky than an episode of the Jetsons. So they're not little green men. They're little red devils. Not extraterrestrials. Interdimensional. Because they go back and forth between the natural and the spiritual. And they harass us. And they like to scare us. They're demon spirits. They're not the cute little creatures like people have been conditioned to believe from the E.T. movies. They don't come in the name of peace. They come in the name of Satan to steal and kill and destroy. Space aliens are demon spirits in disguise. Something wicked this way comes. And all those UFOs are just a sign of the huge spiritual battle that's going on right now all around us. And why is the federal government releasing all this information right now? Because there's so many UFOs right now, according to them, they know it's just a matter of time before people are going to start making significant contact with them. And how do we know that? Because last December, NASA already started hiring pastors, not me, pastors and clergy to break the news to people that UFOs are real. Yikes and away, people. And why are there so many unexplainable aerial phenomena like they call them today? Because Revelation chapter 12, verse 12 says the devil knows his time is short. So the closer and closer we get to the end, the more and more fallen angels we're going to see. And because they're all a part of the powerful delusion, the great deception that the Bible says is going to happen in the last days. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. Leading to what? Now, the funny thing is, the vast majority of people who claim that they've been abducted by UFOs, they describe those beings all exactly the same way, saying that they look like frogs. Revelation chapter 16, verses 13 to 14 says, in the last days, at the end of the great tribulation, demon spirits that look like frogs will do miraculous signs and wonders on the world. And they will lead and to deceive all the leaders of the world to send their armies to a place called the Valley of Armageddon in the nation of Israel. And what happens at the Battle of Armageddon? Jesus Christ comes back from heaven, saves God's people, destroys God's enemies, and takes the devil and all of his demons and casts them into hell where they belong. But what happens before the Battle of Armageddon? What happens before the Great Tribulation even starts? The rapture, when Jesus comes and takes us Christians out of here. So the greatest unexplainable phenomena of all time is going to be ye and you and all the other Christians flying through the clouds at warp 9 on our way to heaven. The demons are coming, but Christians weren't going up, up and away before the demons even get here. Job chapter 19, verse 25. I know that my Redeemer lives. And the last day he will stand, King rootin' tootin' high and mighty, told you so, boss of the applesauce. And Christians, listen to me. If we know that Jesus is going to stand over the devil and all of his demons then, we can stand against the devil and all of his demons now. The second reason why we need to armor up is because we need to take a stand against the enemy. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third reason why we need to armor up. We not only need to understand that we have an enemy, we not only need to take a stand against the enemy, but third, we need to armor up because we can win this battle. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us here in verses 10 to 12 too. Notice something very important. God tells you to be strong in the Lord, and He also tells you to take a stand. But not one single time anywhere in this text does He tell you to win. And you know why? Because you've already won. Every battle that you fight against the devil and his posse, you've already beat him. Because Jesus already beat him at the cross 2,000 years ago. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, at the cross, Jesus disarmed the principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them. Which means at the cross, Jesus gave the devil a smackdown and beat him with a big ugly stick, destroyed the power that the devil has over us, and even stole his lunch money. The devil has fallen and he can't get up. You will never win until you first of all realize you've already won. No matter how big or bad or ugly the devil can get, victory is assured. But it's not automatic because you still have to show up and go toe-to-toe with it. I got saved back in 1984 and started doing a jail ministry with an older friend named Kenny Blank, Iroquois County Jail in Watseka on Sunday afternoons. Just standing outside the bars of the 6 cell blocks trying to share the gospel with anybody who would pay me any mind. Well, Easter Sunday, 1989, the guards warned us that there was a prisoner, middle cell, second floor, who had blown his mind out with drugs. So they thought. So we got up there. Prisoner was about 30 years old. The nanosecond we started reading from the Bible about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this guy absolutely freaked and started screaming, F you, F Jesus Christ. He started spitting on us. He was trying to come at us through the bars and grab at us, telling he was going to kill us. First person in my entire life I had ever seen gnashing their teeth. They were so freaked out. And me and Kenny Blank looked at each other and thought, where is the door or where do you want one? Because you talk about scared and we weren't afraid of nothing. And then we realized, for somebody to get that upset just from hearing Scripture, that guy wasn't just crazy, he was demon-possessed. So I took one step back, I pointed at him, and I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, come out of him, and peace be still. And the nanosecond I finished saying that, that guy hit the floor like a wet rag. That demon came out of him, he crawled as fast as he could into the far corner of that cell, curled up in a ball, and started whimpering like a kicked dog. And I thought, holy cow, this Jesus stuff really does work, doesn't it? Yeah. And you know why? Because demons have to submit to the name of Jesus Christ. And greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. So you don't fight for victory. You fight from a position of victory. Because you've already won. And it's already all over but for the shouting. And Christians, we need to remember that. We need to remember we win because right now there are all kinds of demon spirits in the highest positions of our government using people to destroy this country. During the campaign, Joe Biden said this over and over again, I guarantee we are going to end fossil fuel and the oil and gas industry in America. In the last 18 months, that's exactly what he's been doing. The very first thing Joe Biden did in office was what? The very first thing, he signed an executive order killing the Keystone Pipeline and creating buku more regulations on drilling. So today, gas prices are through the roof, and he is in Saudi Arabia right now begging for oil while we're sitting on oceans of it here at home. And oil he released from the strategic oil reserves. Our oil that's supposed to be used for us and our emergency, he's selling to communist China, making things even worse. Folks, even Joe Biden is not that stupid. Don't tell me this destruction is not on purpose. Last March, Joe Biden told us there's going to be food shortages in America by the end of this year. All the while, all kinds of food processing plants are mysteriously being torched all over the United States. January 13th, Cargill plant, LeCompte, Louisiana. January the 20th, potato processing plant, Warden, Washington. February the 3rd, Wisconsin River Meats in Mauston, Wisconsin. February 22nd, Shearer Foods, Hermiston, Oregon. March 16th, Nestle plant, Jonesboro, Arkansas. March the 24th, potato plant, Belfast, Maine. March the 31st, Rio Fresh Foods, San Juan, Texas. April 13th, Taylor Poultry Farm, Salinas, California. April 28th, Purdue Poultry Farm, Chesapeake, Virginia. Those are just the first 4 months of 2022. So folks, this food shortage isn't just being predicted, it's being planned. So what are people supposed to eat? Bugs, of course. See the propaganda video by actress Nicole Kidman?
Micro livestock, cornworms, they're still alive. Extraordinary. Very moist, chewy. Can't quite describe the flavor, but need a little water.
Tastes just like chicken. And grab your ankles, folks, because here comes COVID again. Last Monday, HHS announced there might be another COVID variant coming. And just by last Thursday, just 3 days later, it was already here. It already had a name, BA5. And CNN was already screaming that everybody's going to die. So mask them all up, lock them all down, and get everybody jabbed all over again. And what do you know? Just in time for the midterm elections. So people can vote by mail-in ballot and drop boxes again, guaranteeing that the powers that be will never leave office. And folks, we got to realize it's all about setting up everything for the New World Order. And New World Order is not just a right-wing conspiracy theory, because New World Order is exactly what the globalists themselves are telling us that they're putting together. Back in 1991, George H.W. Bush, president, said this, "What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a New World Order, where diverse nations are drawn together in a common cause." In March, Joe Biden said this, "Now is the time when things are shifting, and there's going to be a New World Order, and we've got to lead it." CBS News anchor Walter Cronkite, the most trusted man in America, said this in 2009 before he died.
Well, what Alexander Hamilton wrote about the need for law among the 13 states applies today to the approximately 200 sovereignties in our global village, all of which are going to have to be convinced to give up some of that sovereignty to the better, greater union. Hamilton said, and it's not going to be easy. Hamilton said, to look for a continuation of harmony between a number of independent, unconnected sovereignties in the same neighborhood would be to disregard the uniform course of human events and to set at defiance the accumulated experience of ages. Most important, we should sign and ratify the Treaty for a Permanent International Criminal Court. That is now at the core of the World Federalist Movement's drive. That court will enable the world to hold individuals accountable for their crimes against humanity. Their leader, Pat Robertson, has written in a book a few years ago that we should have a world government, but only when the Messiah arrives. He wrote, and literally, any attempt to achieve world order before that time must be the work of the devil. Well, join me. I'm glad to sit here at the right hand of Satan. Let us.
You don't think there's a new world order that's coming from the devil himself? There's Joe Biden speaking at Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum in 2016 in Davos, Switzerland. You know what his speech was about? How digital identities can control a global economy. Sound familiar? And that was 7 years ago already. People don't tell me there's not an agenda going on. The next phase in the Great Reset is destroying nations by destroying their national economies. Brian Dietz, White House advisor, was asked 2 weeks ago, how long are the American people going to have to keep paying high gas prices to supposedly punish Vladimir Putin for invading Ukraine? You know what Brian Dietz said? We can't worry about inconvenience. We have to make way for the new liberal order. You don't think there's a new world order? And right now it's doing exactly what it's supposed to do. At a time when grocery stores are empty all over the world, stupid green energy policies limiting carbon emissions are destroying food production all over the planet. In Sri Lanka, rice production is down 20%. In England right now, the government is paying farmers not to farm in spite of the need. Farmers in the Netherlands and Germany and Italy are protesting like crazy because they're going bankrupt and having to dump milk and slaughter their dairy cows to supposedly save the planet. Folks, stupid earth worship is literally killing and starving people to death. So what are people supposed to eat? Other people. I kid you not. See, getting people to eat bugs just conditions you to eat the next thing that's taboo, which is other people. Right now, a professor in Sweden named Magnus Söderlund is claiming that the best thing we can possibly do to reduce the world's population and fight man-made climate change is to eat human flesh. God help us, people, because this New World Order madness is setting the stage for the coming of the Antichrist, just like that thing there predicted. 42 years ago in 1980, a man who called himself R.C. Christian paid over $500 million to have a monument built 7 miles north of Elberton in northeast Georgia. Five solid granite pillars over 19 feet tall and inscribed on those pillars in 8 different languages were guidelines that humanity was supposed to follow to rebuild the world after a global Holocaust. So that monument was called the Georgia Guidestones. And what you see there, upper right-hand corner, are those 10 guidelines. But folks, we got to realize the Georgia Guidestones were not just a tourist attraction. They're demonic because they were put there by a cult called the Rosicrucians who've been slamming Christianity for over 500 years. And they're a mockery of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were given by God on tablets of stone. The Ten Guidelines were given by man on tablets of stone. And notice, there is not one mention of anything to do with God anywhere in those guidelines. And every single one of them contradicts Scripture. Number one, we're supposed to reduce the population of the world to 500 million people. That's a call to genocide and direct disobedience to God's command to people, Genesis 1:28, to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Guideline number three calls for a common language all over the world. We tried that at the Tower of Babel, and look at how that turned out. Number six calls for the creation of a global government, which the Bible absolutely condemns. Number 10 says that human beings are supposed to be sacrificed for the sake of nature, even though Psalm chapter 115, verse 16 says earth was made for man, not man for the earth. So folks, Charlie Daniels was right. The devil really did go down to Georgia. And he built a monument. And I know somebody's hearing me right now saying, Kevin, what in the world does it matter if some idiots got together and put up a stupid monument somewhere? Here's why it matters. Because everything in those guidelines is exactly what's being pushed today by all the New World Order people. They're trying to cause a global Holocaust by collapsing nations and destroying economies and spreading viruses. In his book, The Great Reset, Klaus Schwab says the world's population should be reduced to, hold on, 500 million people with pandemics and forced starvation and instigated wars. Bill Gates says the world's population should be reduced to, wait for it, 500 million people with abortions and vaccines. Does it bother anybody that the person who's saying the world's population should be reduced by 90% is the exact same person who wants to vaccinate 90% of the world? Does that bother anybody else, or is it just me? Everybody from the United Nations to Pope Francis, Dr. Fauci to George Soros is calling for a one-world government. And guideline number 10, taking people's rights away in order to save the planet, is exactly what Bill Gates wants to do by injecting digital IDs in people's bodies so Big Brother can control their lifestyle and make sure they reduce their carbon footprint. I could go on and on. The Georgia Guidestones are all about the New World Order. And here's the kicker. What that New World Order is calling for is exactly the same thing the Bible says is going to happen in the last days. During the Great Tribulation after the rapture, when everybody who is left on earth believes the lie that the Antichrist is Jesus Christ and that the New World Order he's going to set up is going to be Shangri-La and fulfill all the guidelines of the Guidestones. But they're going to find out way too late the Antichrist really works for the devil. And that New World Order he sets up is going to be the kingdom from hell and a demonic one-world government. And there'll be a global holocaust when the pure wrath of God is poured out on this earth. And Revelation chapter 6 through 9 says gazillions and gazillions of people are going to be killed by starvation and war and disease. And Isaiah chapter 6 verse 13 says 1/10 of the Jewish people will be slaughtered and eaten by other people. So there's your cannibalism that the New World Order has called for. And millions and gazillions more people are going to be killed by the Antichrist when they turn to faith in Jesus Christ and get saved. So what the New World Order people have been clamoring for years and years, reducing the population of the world, they're going to get in spades. And there's going to be one world religion because the Antichrist will force everybody to worship him. And he'll take away everybody's rights by forcing everyone to get that digital ID mark of the beast injected in their right hand or in their forehead. So he can monitor and control absolutely every aspect of every single person's life. So those guidelines are not just the 10 guidelines of the Georgia Guidestones. They're the 10 commandments of the Antichrist and the blueprint for the demonic New World Order, which is advancing on every single front. Just exactly like the Bible says, Bible prophecy being fulfilled, folks, right in front of our very eyes. But then last July the 6th at 4 a.m., the fourth pillar of the Georgia Guidestones all of a sudden just exploded. And it destabilized the other pillars so bad, the whole thing eventually had to be bulldozed under. Security cameras show 4 a.m., a car pulls up, and a person walks over to the fourth pillar and plants an explosive device at the base of that pillar just seconds before the whole thing went kaboom. The video you see there.
TBI is hoping new video will help them nail down the person responsible for blowing up the Georgia Guidestones. Check it out. The GBI says this video shows the person leaving an explosive device at the structure and then running away. We've circled them for you so you can see that person going in and then running right back out a little bit later. This morning, the Elbert County District Attorney is promising to prosecute whoever caused this drastic scene here.
Now, folks, whatever that was and whatever happened, the Georgia Guidestones are no more. Ding dong, the witch is dead. But even though those Georgia Guidestones are gone, the New World Order is still in place. The agenda is still in place. That New World Order is still coming because what God says will happen in His Word will happen. But here's the good news. The New World Order, the Great Reset, the Great Tribulation, the Green New Deal, Build Back Better, doesn't matter what you call it because it's all exactly the same thing. It's only going to last for 7 years. And at the end of the Great Tribulation, Jesus Christ is coming again. And He's going to destroy that kingdom and destroy the devil and all of his demons and powers and principalities and set up His own kingdom that will never end. So just like the Georgia Guidestones, that New World Order is going to be nothing but a worthless pile of rocks. And Zechariah chapter 14, verse 9, on that day, there will only be one king and His name will be the only name, not George Soros or Dr. Fauci or Bill Gates or Klaus Schwab, but Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He will reign forever and ever and ever and ever. God will win, the devil loses. There's a battle going on, folks. And there's only two sides in this war. It's either Jesus or the devil. Angels or demons, light or darkness, good or bad, true or false, heaven or hell. an absolutely the most important, the most critical decision that you have to make in your entire life is which side are you on? Because you can't have both. You go middle of the road, you become roadkill. Jesus says you're either for me or you're against me. You have got to choose one or the other. And if you don't choose Christ, you've already chosen against it. And that choice couldn't be clearer. You want to be saved? Have your sins forgiven? Get out of Dodge before all hell breaks loose on this earth and then go to heaven and be there for eternity? You want to be lost and be condemned in your sin and go through hell on earth during the Great Tribulation with starvation and war and disease and carnival freak demons running wild. And then after that, spend eternity and a trillion eternities in hell. Jesus said, Luke chapter 21, verse 36, do everything you possibly can. By all means, watch and pray that you might escape what is about to come on the face of the earth. You escape it then by trusting Christ now. There's people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. You are not a Christian. You're not saved. You've never confessed your sins to God. You've never put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never put your faith in the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross, the only thing that can take your sins away. You've never asked Him to come into your heart and take over your life. Today, the nanosecond this church service is over with, you get out of your seat, you come to the front of this church, and you pray with somebody. You pray with a prayer partner. They will lead you to Christ. You can leave this church today knowing that your sins are forgiven, safe and secure through these dangerous last days. And here's where the real battle starts. Because there's people sitting in this church right now, listen to this sermon. You're hearing a voice inside of your head that's saying what Pastor Kevin is saying is true. And the scripture that he quoted was true. And I need to get up out of my seat and I need to pray to receive Christ. Here's the battle. You're hearing another voice inside of your head that's saying, blow this off. Kevin's an idiot. That's the devil. He doesn't know what he's talking about. That's the devil. The Bible isn't true. That's the devil. Nothing's going to happen to me. That's the devil. I got to get the Cracker Barrel before the crowd gets heavy. That's the devil. The greatest spiritual battle you will ever fight in your entire life is making that decision to turn from the devil, to turn from the world, and turn to salvation in Jesus Christ. There's people here. You need to make that decision today. There's other people sitting in these pews right now. You're already saved. You're already a Christian. But your life has fallen apart. All kinds of things are happening that you can't figure out, that you can't explain. One bad thing after another. There's things that you can't get victory over. Listen, the devil cannot possess you, but he can certainly harass you. And that's what's going on in your life right now. The service is over. You need to get up out of your seat. You need to come to the front of this church, and we will pray. James 4, 7. Submit to God. Rebuke the devil, and he will flee from you. And you can start being set free from that. We're going to finish with a song. Finish this service right now. Be bold, be strong. That song is over. You come.